Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Aren't you glad that spring has sprung? My studio is here in the back of my house, and it is not soundproof, and you may just hear the lawnmowers that are going as yards are being mowed. Dandelions are growing inches even as I speak. Mosquitoes and other wonderful things are spawning all around us. Isn't spring great? We're going to play some music for you in just a few moments, but first, I want to draw your attention to the awesome menu for May for Angel Food Ministries. CAC is an Angel Food Ministries host site, and folks, you just can't believe how delicious this food is. Let me tell you what's in the main package for the May 2008 menu. 1.5 pounds of bacon-wrapped beef fillets. That's 4 6-ounce fillets. 2.5 pounds of breaded chicken breast fillets. 1.5 pounds of bone-in pork steaks. 4 of them at 6 ounces each, 28 ounces of Salisbury steak dinner entree, 2.5 pounds of beef and bean burritos, 10 of them at 4 ounces each, 2 pounds of popcorn chicken, 9.5 ounces of Stouffer's flatbread pizza, 16 ounces of cauliflower and carrot blend, 15 ounces of corn niblets, 16 ounces of green beans, 2 pounds of fresh onions, 29 ounces of pears, 32 ounces of Borden 2% shelf-stable milk, 9 ounces of breakfast cereal, 8 ounces of corn muffin mix, 16 ounces of bean soup mix, a dozen eggs, and one dessert item, and all of this for the low cost of just $30. Now, once you buy the main package, you qualify to buy one of the May specials. There are 3 specials in May. Special number 1 is a 7-pound grill box. For $20, you can get 1.75 pounds of chicken breast kebab kits, which makes 6 to 8 kebabs. That's 1.5 pounds of chicken breast, 4 ounces of vegetables, onions and peppers, and the skewers. 1.25 pounds of ribeye steaks, 2 of them at 10 ounces each. 2 pounds of thick-cut pork chops, 4 of them at 8 ounces each, and 2 pounds of beef hamburger steaks, 4 of them at 8 ounces each. That's the grill box combo special number 1. Then special number 2 is a 5-pound steak box. For $20, you can get 1.5 pounds of bone-in New York strip steaks, 2 of them at 12 ounces each, 1.5 pounds of bone-in ribeye steaks, 2 of them at 12 ounces each, and 2 pounds of sirloin strips, 4 of them at 8 ounces each. That's the 5-pound steak box special number 2. Special number 3 is a 12-pound chicken combo box. For $20, you can get 5 pounds of whole chicken. That's the average weight of the whole chicken, 2 pounds of breaded chicken tenders, 30 ounces of individually vacuum-packed boneless, skinless chicken breast, 6 of them at 5 ounces each, 1 pound of fully cooked breaded chicken wings, and 2 pounds of chicken breast nuggets. Again, to qualify for ordering any of the 3 specials, you have to order the main package. You can order just the main package by itself and not order any of the specials. To see this menu in detail, just log on to our website at cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. When you come to pick up your food, you'll need to bring a box with you. You can pick it up at our church on the delivery date. We're located about 3 minutes from downtown Clarksburg. All the details are on our website at cac.us.com/angelfood. Well, let's play some music for you. Now, if any of you are thinking, you know, I like the sound of this whole salvation thing, but it just sounds too good to be true. I just don't think I deserve that. Then I want to tell you that the official doctrinal position of Christianity is that none of us deserve it. Salvation is a free gift that none of us can live worthy enough to earn. Not only can we not live worthy enough to earn it, but we really struggle to do our best just to live up to the expectations of Christians. And we fail from time to time. I got angry just the other day and allowed myself to be frustrated by someone that was treating me rudely, and that's not really what Christianity is all about, and I've struggled with guilt over that and have repented over it. And every Christian that you meet is someone who fails from time to time. We just try our best to aim for the target, aim for the goal, and hit it as often as we can, knowing that from time to time we will miss. And when a believer does sin, when a believer does mess up, there is the voice of condemnation that says, you know, God's not going to see you through this. You've let him down. You've let your fellow believers down. You've let your family down. You've let yourself down. God's not going to hang in there with you through this. You need to remember that he gave you salvation when you were a raw, unconverted sinner. And if he loved you that much then, how much more does he love you now that you're trying your best and seeing him help you by the power of his Spirit as much as you allow him to? There's a song by Phillips Craig and Dean that says simply, "He'll never let you go." I want to play it for you right now. All the music we've played from Phillips Craig and Dean previously has been from their album called Let Your Glory Fall. This is the first song we're playing from their album called Turn Up the Radio. Again, the name of the song is He'll Never Let You Go.
I don't have to say it. I can see it in your eyes. Though your heart is bruised, you hide the truth beneath the fine disguise. I've got something to tell you. Though it's simple, it's said with love. Nothing new, still it's as true as it ever was. He'll never let you go. Oh no, that's never been his way. When he said that he would love you, he was talking about for always. He'll never let you go. No matter how low you feel that you have fallen, his arms are longer still, and he wants you to know he'll never let you go. Talking about
Now, I mentioned earlier that we have been playing music previously from Phillips Craig & Dean's project entitled Let Your Glory Fall. And I've noticed, as a matter of fact, that over the weeks, we've played every track from that project except one. And I'd like to go ahead and round out the playing of that project for you today by playing this song. It's the seventh track on that project. It's called The Wonderful Cross. And at this point, over the weeks, you will have heard all the songs from that project, Let Your Glory Fall. Again, this song is entitled The Wonderful Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain.
Come and
Well, our special guest today is Paul the Apostle. That's right. Paul is coming to us today by way of a letter that he wrote to the church in the city of Rome. Now, of course, this letter was written a very long time ago, and Paul has been laid in the grave a very long time ago. But I'm reading his writings to that church to see what we can glean from it today, so many years later. In Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, and I'm going to also read in through chapter 6, but in chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For if by the trespass of the one man," now let me interject that he's speaking here of Adam, "if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were, therefore, buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, Paul, thank you very much for those wonderful words of wisdom, inspired by the Spirit of the Lord God and placed into the canon, part of the Holy Bible. And in conjunction with those words, I'd like to explore with you today what our concept of sin should be. What is your understanding about sin? And does it line up with what the Scriptures actually teach us about sin? And in the process, I would like to examine what I believe is an immature and false view of sin that is believed by many and taught by many, and that is the concept that there is no big sin and no little sin. There is no sin that's worse than any other, that all sin is sin in the eyes of God, and God does not view any difference between various sins. I was taught that as a youngster in Sunday school classes, and that concept is still being taught in churches and Sunday school classes everywhere. And imagine my surprise when I grew up and began to study the Bible for myself and found out that the Bible actually teaches the exact opposite. So I'd like to explore that with you today for a few moments to help you to gain a solid and mature understanding about sin. First of all, let me tell you that John, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, mentions sin unto death in contrast with sin not unto death. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life." I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Now, clearly, from this scripture alone, we can see that in the eyes of God, not all sins are equal. Now, I believe that sins could be classified, in other words, various transgressions of God's law could be classified in several different ways. But certainly, two main categories would be: this group of transgressions against God's law lead to death, and this group of transgressions over here do not. Sin unto death and sin not unto death. Now, the scholars that gave us the Believer Study Bible had this to say: "The enigmatic reference to sin leading to death has generated numerous explanations. One view argues that this phrase describes sin which results in physical death. Another interpretation suggests that sin leading to death refers to the actions of the false teachers, individuals who had been exposed to the gospel and openly rejected it. While sin leading to death refers to the actions of these heretics, sin not leading unto death describes the sin committed by believers, sins which do not indicate that forgiveness is no longer possible. Consequently, this verse distinguishes between prayer for believers and for unbelievers." As the author discusses answered prayer, he explains the effectiveness of prayer offered for other believers whose sin is not leading to death. However, he makes no such guarantee concerning intercession for non-Christians whose sin is leading to death. That's the end of the quote from the commentary in the Believer's Study Bible. My response to that would be to say that, in context, John's entire passage seems to be dealing only with examining sins of the brethren. If you look at the beginning of verse 16, it says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, the implication clearly is that one could see his brother commit a sin that does lead to death. Now, I would offer another possible explanation beyond that that was foreseen by the Believer's Study Bible scholars. And that is, if we look at how Moses categorized various transgressions against God's law in the Old Covenant, in the Torah, the Mosaic Law, there were some light transgressions which Moses said the response should be to bring an offering in repentance. And sometimes the offering was specified to be small, like a turtle dove. Other times it was to be larger, like a kid of the goats. And then sometimes it was larger still. A whole bull was to be brought as an offering as part of repentance. And this would result in God's forgiveness being obtained. And so there were various levels and degrees of sacrifice that accompanied various levels and degrees of transgression. By contrast, however, there were other sins for which Moses did not prescribe an offering, but rather prescribed punishment, including death. And if we go back even further than the Mosaic law, back to the day when Noah got off the ark, we can see God commanding all of the human family that had just come off the ark to punish the sin of murder with death. God commanded the human family to implement capital punishment as the proper punishment for the sin of murder. And so I believe that through study of the Old Testament, one can delineate whether a transgression was one that leads to death or one that does not lead to death. Now, I don't know if that's exactly the right interpretation of what John meant in 1 John chapter 5, but it's something to think about. At any rate, certainly we can see that sexual sins in the Word of God are classified differently than other sins, and we can see in other ways that there are these two main categories, sins that lead unto death and sins that do not lead unto death. But one very important thing that I want to leave you with on this point, as we're running out of time quickly, is that the word sin, in its most basic definition, means to miss the mark. In other words, it means in any way, in any degree, that you fall short of perfection. And it is, in fact, in its history, an archery term. The archer aims for the bullseye, lets his arrow fly, and the degree by which he misses the bullseye is the amount of sin. In other words, in archery, the degree of sin is how far you missed perfection. And this is literally what the word sin means. Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. All of us miss perfection by some degree. The lesser missing of perfection brings with it less complication, less punishment, less problems. The greater degrees of missing perfection bring with them greater complications, greater degrees of punishment, and greater degrees of problems in our life. Well, this is a beginning of helping you to gain an understanding of sin.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.